we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program, WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're coming up on 26 years in December will be how long we've been at the church. Believe it or not, this month marks the culmination of our fifth year of broadcasting on WMIE. We started in October the 28th of 2013. Here it is, 2018 already. And I haven't gotten a day older. No, that's not true. In my body, in my mind, I don't feel like I've gotten any older, but the mirror and the photographs that I see from time to time give evidence that I've aged just a day or two since then. So we are thankful that we get to spend this time with you proclaiming the Word of God. On Sunday, I was blessed to have a friend of mine visit. He had seen our announcements on Facebook that it was Pastor Appreciation Day, and he just wanted to come over and be a blessing to us. And I was introducing him to a couple of men at the church, and I realized that I came to know all three of these men as a result of the radio program. And so my life has been enhanced because of this radio program, and hopefully we have been able to be a blessing to you as well. And so we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the Lord's Prayer. We're talking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now we're talking about the kingdom of God part. And I don't know about you, but after the Washington theatrics from last week, after, you know, the economic kingdom that was shaken to its core a little over a decade ago, the political kingdom is just a mess. There's other major organizations, man-made organizations, that are an absolute mess. I am so thankful and privileged to be able to live in the kingdom of God, where his throne is established in righteousness. He's a God of love. He's a God of wisdom. He's a God of justice. He's a God of provision. He's a God of holiness. Thank God for the privilege we have of living in the kingdom of God. And if you don't have anything else to praise God about today, praise God for the fact that you get to live in God's kingdom, not just for a season, but for eternity. What a truly awesome privilege it is for us to be able to be members of the household of faith. Your Father is the King. Your Father is the King. So I also would like to say thank you here on the radio program to the people of Merritt Assembly of God who have loved on us and grown with us during the time that we've been there. Like I said, Sunday was Pastor Appreciation Day, and some people came and got to meet my family. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And there were people who were sharing some stories about how they came and they got saved at Merritt Assembly of God. And then they began to describe the impact that one decision has made on their family, where their children are saved, their spouse is saved. Their children's, their grandchildren are saved. Their in-laws are saved. He began to describe the entire dynamic of things that went on. And we were talking after he had made a list of just some of the people. And I went up to him afterwards and told him about somebody that wasn't related to him that has since been promoted into eternity. And he said, "Oh yeah, that was just a very small list." And of the people that have been impacted by one decision to enter the kingdom of God. And if you find yourself living in a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of bondage instead of a kingdom of liberty, a kingdom of death instead of a kingdom of life, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to be your Savior, your Lord, and your King. And you will find that living in the kingdom of God is a much, much better place to live. So that's a little bit about what's been going on this past weekend. So we're going to get today into the Word of God. We're going to be in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're winding down on the kingdom aspects of this, but as often happens, there's a passage here in Mark chapter 14 that I want to share with you a little bit, because like I said at the beginning of this, we in America, we don't understand kingdom mindset. We just don't. We're democratic or democracy type people. We think about our representing ourselves. It's a completely different kingdom. And so I want to share an aspect about it, the kingdom of God, today from Mark chapter 14, and it's gonna take us a day or so to get through this. So Mark chapter 14, verse number 23. Let's start at verse number 22. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" He establishes the covenant with them, and he says, this is the last time that I'm going to do this until the kingdom of God is established with a new covenant, and I get to drink it with you under that new covenant. So, the kingdom of God is a covenant relationship. It's a kingdom of covenant. That means that it's not a kingdom of convenience. I put it in these terms. The kingdom of God is not about a one-night stand. It is not about a situation where you come and say, "Well, you know what? I remember responding to an invitation when I was 6 years old, and now I'm 80, and I haven't ever been back to the altar again. I've never been back to the church again. I've never opened my Bible again. I've never said a prayer to God again. I've never worshiped him again." That's not the covenant that Jesus came to establish for you and I. It is not a kingdom of convenience. It is a kingdom of covenant. My wife and I, we view our marriage as a covenant. It is a covenant between she and I. It is a covenant between the two of us and God, that God is going to be at the center of that. And I don't just mean fixated. I mean, he's the core. He's the core strength. I've got a friend who talks about how he's been working to build up his core strength physically. Well, We need that. We need strength in that core. There's a football player. He tore his core muscle. I'd never heard that term before, but it's very painful, and it takes a long time to recover from that. We need a strong core. We need a strong core spiritually. And we need to God to be at the center of it. This last week I preached on, you know, that we are assigned the responsibility of making our path straight before God. And we do that by submitting to God and knowing God, and not only knowing him, but acknowledging him and allowing him to be God. He's got a lot of experience at it, and he will make our path straight. And the Amplified Bible described in Hebrews chapter 12 that the paths that God wants to establish for us are straight paths, they're firm paths, they're smooth paths, they are happy paths, they're safe paths. He wants all of that for us, and so we would be very well served in allowing God to be God. So we established the kingdom of God was established through Jesus Christ, and it is a covenant kingdom. That means for better or for worse. I'm so thankful that my wife didn't enter into a covenant with me as long as I was young. I remember when we first got married that there was a lady that worked in the suit department of this department store that I worked at. And she had been there for a long time. I sold men's shoes. I was in the retail industry for a lot of years. And I tell people I dealt with a lot of heels and a lot of soles. Anyway, that's a shoe joke. And I dealt with all of those people, and I remember her coming up to me, and she had been pretty well off, and now she was working retail, and she had gone through a tremendous heartbreak because her husband had traded her in on a younger model. And I remember the thing that arose within me, and it's like, that is not right. That's just not what God wants us to do. I'm so thankful that my wife didn't say, well, as long as you're young, I'm going to walk in this covenant. I'm so thankful that she said, or didn't say that she would keep the covenant as long as I was rich, because I've never been rich. I'm so thankful that she didn't say, I'm going to keep this covenant with you as long as you are healthy, because there have been times when I've not been healthy. And I didn't establish the covenant with her on the same terms. I said for better or for worse. It was a kingdom covenant. And so that's where I am. That's my covenant with God as well, is it's not as long as things are going well. It's not as long as there's no persecution. It is not as long as things continue to go exactly the way that I want them. My covenant is based upon who he is, not the circumstances that rule and reign in my life. The kingdom is also not a kingdom of anarchy. You know, I have never seen such a push for anarchy as I have in America here in recent times. Anarchy is where everybody does what is right in their own eyes. It is where people want to set aside the law and say, no, that's too restrictive for me. The kingdom of God is a kingdom where it has some boundaries there. It's got some responsibilities. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But it is, the kingdom of God is what the king says should take place, not what Bob says should take place. So on Sunday, a person came up to me, and they said, you know, how much they loved me and appreciated me. And I said something like this: thank God that there's only one of me. And they said, well, why do you say that? And I said, because I don't think the world really needs another Bob Arthurs. I think all of us are created to be a unique representation of of God's grace, but I'm not the person to be able to say, hey, you need to do it like this. I have a friend that I've golfed with on occasion, and my golf swing can change from one shot to the other, just like almost every other golfer on the planet. I can hit a good shot, and then the next shot can be absolutely terrible. It's a mystery. My golf game is a mystery, you know. And then all of a sudden, after not hitting a good shot, all of a sudden you hit the shot of the summer for yourself. It's a mystery. So I want the kingdom of God to be expressed as a manner that says, Jesus is the standard. I'm not the standard. I don't want to do what is right in my own eyes. I want to do what is right in God's eyes. So let's talk a little bit about covenant. And I'm just going to go through these. I don't know if I'll get through all of them today. I'm just going to fixate on the expressions of covenant that are in the New Testament, because we're really going to be focusing in on this new covenant that God is established. First of all, in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Okay, so it's a covenant where Jesus paid the price for our shortcomings of his covenant. It is for the remission of sins. It is for the removal of sins. It is for the causing them to no longer function. They are rendered useless. The power of sin is broken because of the kingdom of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? It is not a kingdom that is with a wink and a nod just going to allow us to continue to sin just because we said a prayer. If we know God, then the power of sin should be broken, and we should not be willingly entering in to sinful acts and having sinful attitudes. God's still working on us. It doesn't mean that we're perfect yet. As long as there's breath in my lungs, they're still shaping and molding that needs to be made. But it is for the remission of sins, not to give us freedom to continue in our sin. And Mark 14:24, we just read this verse. It says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. So a lot of times people are content with the fact that their sins are forgiven, but they forget that he didn't just shed his blood for your sins. He didn't just shed the blood for your family's sins. He shed the blood for many. John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. His blood was sufficient for us. Luke chapter 12, verse 20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Same thought, different focus. The one focuses on how important it is for us as individuals to enter into covenant. The Mark chapter 14 focuses on the need to reach every man, woman, and child on the globe to let them know that they have a Savior who died for their sins. The covenant came to take away the sin. He came to take away my sins. He came to take away your sins. And his blood is sufficiently able, no matter how long you have been sinning, no matter what your age. I've known people who gave their heart to the Lord in their 90s. I know people who gave their heart to Jesus with their very last breath. I want to encourage you. Don't procrastinate. Here's what I've had people tell me before. Well, I want to sow as much wild oats as I can possibly sow. I want to go out. I've known people who said, you know what? I know that God hasn't blessed this. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, and then I'm going to ask him to forgive me. Let me tell you, that journey to forgiveness is a lot more challenging than what you might think it is. I had a friend who did something like that, and he went through years and years and years of spiritual darkness because he didn't, it, let's put it this way, the journey back to Jesus wasn't quite as easy as he thought it was going to be. Here's something you won't hear talked about very much with the thought of covenant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 25, this is a passage we'll be reading next week as we will be celebrating communion. By the way, I want to tell you, on October the 14th, we're going to be having special revival services with Steve Hoag. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. A person that not only has a love for Jesus, not only has a love for his family, but if you've ever given some thought to foster parenting, it would be very, very beneficial for you to be at church on October the 14th at Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, because Steve and his wife, Sandra, they've made that their ministry of loving on those who have a great, great need for a spiritual parent and an earthly parent, and they have a phenomenal ministry. They literally make their life ministering to foster kids. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, by the way, that dates on that are October the 14th, Sunday morning and Sunday night, 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. 1 Corinthians 11, 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The covenant we have with God is a covenant that should be celebrated, and it calls for action. It has to be intentional. We need to be very intentional about it, because we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves of the price that Jesus paid for us. It is a covenant, and we need to take action. We need to celebrate the covenant. It needs to be a constant reminder to us that he paid that price for us long before we were ever born, long before our sins were ever ruling and reigning in our life. He came and paid the price. It's a covenant of action. Another passage that makes a similar point, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." The covenant of God, the covenant of the kingdom of God, the kingdom covenant, requires ministers. Ministers not just as in pastors. That's not what the word minister means. The word minister means servant. And so you will find in political circles that there's the prime minister of nation. That means he's the premier servant of the kingdom. It's supposed to be a service to the crown. It's supposed to be a service to the people. It's not a title. People fuss and feud and fight over the title of prime minister because it's a very prestigious thing. But I want you to know, being the prime minister of any nation on earth pales in comparison to the privilege of being a minister of the kingdom of God, a servant in the kingdom of God. That's why the king of Israel could say, just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I would rather hold the door than to hold the throne. I would rather serve God than anything. You and I, we need to realize that we have a privilege. Whenever we enter into the kingdom of God, we are going to be transformed by God into servants of love, not bondage. Jesus came to set the captives free. But instead of people who are ensnared with an inability to escape, I do like what the Bible refers to when it refers to believers as prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope. So as I was talking to someone here recently, I shared with them, I said, you know, I think people that hang around you would find it very difficult to stay depressed or discouraged or melancholy, because this person is a real encouragement. If we're going to minister in the kingdom of God, though, we need to focus on the first part of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. It says, who also made us sufficient as ministers. The kingdom of God is about allowing the king to work in us, to train us, to rid our lives of things that are not beneficial to the kingdom of God, and so that he can transform us. You and I, we need the training and the equipping that God provides for us. We need to allow him to make us more than our natural personality has a tendency or has the capacity of us being. I believe in the supernatural transformation of God. I believe that that is not just for being translated into heaven. I believe that it is a transformation that takes place, such as it did in Paul's life, where he was transformed from a persecutor of the church to a apostle of the church. He went from being a hindrance to the body of Christ to a proclaimer of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has the capacity to make us more than we've ever been before. And one more thing, this covenant of the kingdom is not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of covenant of the spirit. And it is a kingdom of a different nature. It is a kingdom covenant that imparts life and not death. And I'm so thankful for that. One of the greatest con jobs the devil has ever pulled off is he's convinced people that God wants to steal their life, when actually God wants to give you abundant life. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Shana Wise, CEO of Christian Women Preachers United. We are hosting our first annual women's conference, October 13th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Jacksonville, Florida. This will be called the Gumbo Experience. Why? Because there are many ingredients in gumbo, and with it all together, it tastes wonderful. This conference is to remind us that we are better together. You will be able to enjoy diverse worship, fellowship, engaging speakers, and so much more. You will be able to shop with local vendors. We still have vendor and sponsorship opportunities available. Tickets are $25, which include breakfast and lunch. For more information, please visit us on Facebook, Eventbrite, or at ChristianWomenPreachersUnited.com.